me pones un hipótesis. Si tú no quieres hablar conmigo, dímelo para yo no llamarte ni molestarte, porque nada más quedaba tú.
Real talk. Real people. Real stories. The He's Jizz Podcast. Yeah! Welcome, everyone, to another He's Jizz Podcast. I'm your host and founder of the He's Just a Social Worker movement with another amazing show for you today. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone that this platform was built because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. And this is no longer our plight, and our fight is for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Today is a special show, not just 100 episodes, but 100 real talks, 100 reflections, 100 chances to say, I'm still here. This one's personal. Today I'm gonna take you back, Harlem, family, the block, where peace didn't always live, but we learned how to make room for it. They say the weather can be an outlier in our everyday lives, and our historical memories are connected to them. The seasons, for some reason or the other, are one of the most vivid descriptions of a specific moment in time that we most remember. Weather impacts our moods and mental well-being. Changes in temperature and sunlight can affect our moods and decision-making. The weather shouldn't have its way of impacting us, but somehow, sometimes, it creeps up. Have you ever had those summers growing up where boredom just stretched like the block you lived on? I was about 8 or 9, Harlem, Washington Heights. Summer heat, another scorcher. No big vacations or theme parks for us. We did fire hydrants with the sculpted two-sided cans to irrigate everything in sight. Cars, innocent bystanders, buses, friends, you name it. The pump, as we called it, was our safe haven. The pump was not the fire department regulated sprinkler, though. We did the all-out full blast, wasting water action. It spoke to freedom. It was fun. It was family. On our block, everybody got it. You had new sneakers on. So what? You were getting wet. You had money in your pocket. We will let you empty your pockets first. Then you got it. If you tried to run off, we'd catch you. If you were at the wrong place and at the wrong time, yep, we got you too. No biases. Innocent victims, religion, age, you were going to get in the pump at our neighborhood. On my block, we were sophisticated with it though. If someone knew that you were going out for groceries, we will wait for your return. Someone would carry your bags to a safe and dry destination, and then yes, you got wet too. If you lived in our neighborhood, you just got your hair cut or you got your hair done, yep, same result. You were dating a girl from our block and you walked her back. She got wet and you got it too. For a lot of neighborhoods, summer camp meant field trips, swimming, and learning new stuff. For us, we had Project Basement on our block. That was our camp. PB, as we called it, was our community. An after-school program where we did homework, got mentored, learned values, we had peace, safety, we had family. For some of us, our older friends, that was our first experience as job counselors. PB was our first career opportunity. It wasn't fancy, but it was home. On this particular summer, Project Basement had a trip, a plan to go to the pool. Yo, we were hype. A pool day in that heat, that was gold. So I come home and I ask my mom to sign the permission slip. She says no. Now, if you know Caribbean or Latino moms, you know what a hard no sounds like. Yep, my mom did no sleepovers, no pool trips, no long distance. I was tight. sitting in my room sulking, mad at my mom, mad at the world, talking to myself like, why does she always ruin everything? Talking to God, imaginary friends, anybody who would listen. Oh my God, I hate her. I really do. However, something was different about today. This summer day was very different. It was some bad news later that day. The news hit. Tato, one of the coolest kids from our block, gone. He was my age, maybe 10 years old tops. Tato was that kid. You knew that he was going to be something. He had it. Swag, toughness, charm. You looked at him and said, yeah, he's destined. He could ride bikes. He could stay out late than most kids our age at that time. He was mature. But on that pool trip, he drowned. We heard he caught a cramp in the deep end. One of the counselors saw him struggling, jumped in to save him, but they both went under. The counselor, an adult who could swim, tried to get Tato to shore. But Tato was panicking, we heard. His fear, he was flailing all over the place. Something like he pulled them both to the bottom. Neither of them made it. When I got the news, man, I didn't know what to feel. Shock, confusion, guilt. And then I remember my mom looking me straight in the eye. And in Spanish, she says, ve lo que te dije? I'm glad I didn't let you go. I would have died if something happened to you. It stuck with me. It still does. Not just the pain of losing Tato, but the lesson. The line between being mad at protection and understanding it. Good things, bad things, all things. Little did I know then that grief was a way of life. You're here one moment, you're gone the next, without warning, without mercy. I was a child when I first learned about what it is to lose someone, how it creeps into your chest and makes a home there, how it confuses you. One moment you're mad, you're sad, you're numb, all at once. If I knew then what I know now, I'll pull that younger version of me and probably say something like, take your time with this loss. Don't let anyone rush your healing. There's no perfect way to grief. Ask yourself gently, how is your body feeling? Are you sleeping? Are you tense? Are you scared and don't know how to say it? Look around you. Who's there? Who checks in on you? Those adults? Those are your support systems. Lean into them. It's okay to ask for a hug. Yeah, it's okay to cry. Okay to not have the words. And most of all, just breathe. Don't forget about your loss, but learn how to make room for it. Learn to honor what was. Carry the memory without breaking it, without breaking you in half in the process. Good things, bad things, all things. Grief is all of it. As an adult or a parent, here are some practical ways to support a child when they're facing grief. Name the feelings. Help the child find the language. You might feel sad, confused, angry, or even nothing. That's all okay. Offer your presence, not pressure. Sometimes just being there is more comforting than words. Don't force conversation. Create space for it, though. Use appropriate, age-honest responses. Children need the truth, but soften them with safety. Avoid vague phrases like, they went to sleep. Encourage expression. Let them draw, let them write, let them play. Grief can be all over the place. Grief can move through art and storytelling for children in ways that words just feel too big for them. Stick to routines. If a child has a routine, it's a sense of safety when their world feels unstable. Answer the same questions if you have to, again and again and again. Repetition is part of how a child processes. Patience is key. Introduce grief books or stories, books like The Invisible String or When Dinosaurs Die. These books can gently help kids make sense of loss. Invite memory by sharing. What's your favorite memory of them? This helps the child see that it's okay to keep talking about the person. And model healthy grief. Let them see you cry. Say, I miss them too. It normalizes their emotions and shows strength and vulnerability. And finally, think about professional help. It's probably the best step. Therapy for children, even a few sessions, can go a long way. It can help them navigate the internal storm that they just don't know how to explain. One thing is true. As I grew up, I got closer to Doña Olguita and Don Augusto, without those parents. We never talked about that day. We never spoke about Tata. You see, in the hood, there's a silent code, a way of understanding respect, and that's a line we never cross. Good things, bad things, all things. Life has a funny way of creeping up on us. It kind of put things in repeat. Challenges come back around like echoes, sometimes louder, sometimes heavier, and sometimes so personal they feel like the world is coming at you at a million miles an hour, daring you to flinch. Like most people, I had dreams. I still have dreams. One of my big dreams, the classic picture, home ownership, family, the white picket fence, stability. And it happened, or at least it started to. I remember sitting down to sign the paperwork for my first home in 2013. A milestone, a victory, a moment I should have celebrated. But life had other plans. That same morning, and I mean that same day, same hour, I got the call. I'd lost my job. I got fired. I was working at a startup with what was introduced as Obamacare. Long story short, it didn't pan out. So here I was, signing mortgage documents, shaking hands with the realtor, all while knowing I had no steady income to back it up anymore. My first home came wrapped, not in a ribbon, but in fear, in sadness, anxiety, all things no one talks about in those new homeowner posts on Instagram. But sometimes when you've got nothing, that's when you got to bet on yourself. When no one else sees the light in you, you better turn on that switch. My first plan was survival. I leaned on those unemployment checks like they were lifelines. I used credit cards just to keep the lights on. I swallowed my pride and called everyone I knew, friends, friends of friends and friends, distant cousins, old co-workers, to see if anyone had a lead, a job, an opportunity, if anything. That's the thing when you're hungry, really hungry, and your back is against the wall. That's when you meet the real version of yourself. No filters, no pretense, just you and the fight. That version of me didn't have time to cry for too long. I had too many responsibilities, and I had something to prove, not to the world, but to myself, that even when the foundation cracked, I could rebuild. Some people worry about what they need. Others get stuck worrying about things they haven't even seen happen yet. But me, I learned the hard way. You can't do it alone, and there's no shame in asking for help. That help came in form of family. A family friend who knew someone hiring. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't my dream job, but it was a door, a chance, a crack of light that led me into the world of social work. A new chapter, a new mission, and strangely enough, a new way to heal others while healing myself. It wasn't the life I planned, but it was the life that built me. Because that's how it goes, right? Good things, bad things, all things. Take the hits, take them all, and you keep walking. You know, when fear and finances meet, they come knocking really hard. You gotta step back, breathe, and accept the shock. Let it hit. Cry, walk, vent, call people, but don't stay stuck there. Give yourself permission to feel something, then commit to movement. Get up, and commit to your next move. Look at what your exit package or benefits looks like. Look for your severance pay, your unused PTO payouts, your COBRA insurance or transition resources. Ask human resources for any remaining questions before you lose access to their systems. File for unemployment immediately. Don't wait. It's a bridge, not a handout. You paid into the system. Now use it. You got to try to stabilize yourself. Audit your spending. Think about trimming things that you don't really need. Trim down to the essentials. Rent, food, utilities, transportation. Pause any subscriptions, memberships, and luxury spending. Create a plan. I don't know. 3 months, 6 months, whatever you can, but foster something that you can maintain using savings and unemployment and hopefully a side hustle project. Prioritize your needs over your wants. You are in survival mode. That does not mean stuck mode. Call creditors or the other companies and say, many offer hardship plans. Ask about deferments or minimum payments. Explore options. During your job search, update your resume. Get on LinkedIn. Focus on impact, not just the job titles. Make sure your headline is open to work and your status is active. Let people know that you're available. Pride aside, opportunities often come from people, not job boards. So reach out and touch someone. Post a thoughtful message, write something that can reach not only the inner you, but the people who are listening. Sign up for job alerts, set filters on your phone, Indeed, Glassdoor, Monster, whatever companies you can think of. But don't wait for a perfect fit. Apply to stretch. Apply to stretch your roles. Apply for small gigs, contract gigs, any temp work. Whatever you can do. Once you reach there, think about the mindset and the change that involves your recovery emotionally. Create a daily routine, wake up at the same time, exercise, job hunt, you know, during a set block, like take breaks. Design a time that works for you as if you were working. Get up at 6, exercise, look for jobs, take your lunch break. If needed, then treat your job search like you're really at a job. Avoid isolation. Stay connected to friends, to family, to support, to connections, to groups, you name it. Job loss can feel like failure. Community reminds you of your worth. Remind yourself you're not your job. A job is a job, but you have skills, you have character. You have resilience, and that lasts. This is not a detour. Definitely not your destination. It's something you're dealing with. Think about short term. Can I freelance? Can I do consultant work? Can I do any jobs off the books? A small gig? Use what you know. Tutoring, writing, delivery, driving, translation. Keep income flowing. In your mind active. Sell any unused items. Look on platforms, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you can to offer any deals or catch on anything that you can make money off. Think about reframing your narrative to improve your mindset change. So write about this. What is your experience like? Journal, blog, record voice notes. Make this fun. This can turn your pain into a purpose and confusion into clarity. Set small wins every week. Apply to 5 jobs. Have 3 conversations. Watch 1 motivation video. If you're able to hit those goals, keep growing. Forward your movement because this builds confidence. Visualize your comeback. You have to picture it. You have to see it. You have to manifest it. Lean into faith. Trust your purpose. Meditate. Pray. That's your lane. Tap in your inner peace. Tap into your wisdom. Listen to your spirit, not just your fear, and ask for help. Above all, when you lose your job, you haven't lost you. That version of you that made things happen before is still there. Name it. This chapter might feel like an ending, but more often than not, it's just the beginning. Good things, bad things, all things. Losing a job isn't just a paycheck. It's the shift. It's that shift in identity. A crack in the rhythm of your days. 1 minute you're checking emails and planning meetings. You are contributing to something larger. And the next moment, you're staring at a wall, wondering what just happened. And what happens next? This hits hard. The silence can feel loud. The doubt creeps in. And if you're not careful, you start believing that your job was your value. And that without it, you lost your place in the world. Let me be clear. Let me say this to you clearly. You are not your job. You are the skills. You are the resilience. You are the character. You are the ability. And because of this, you will rise again and again. No matter how heavy the fall, good things, bad things, all things. My great friend, Marissa Mangone, taught me, it's okay to not be okay. Say it with me. It's okay to not be okay. Often we are presented with challenges. And sometimes those challenges don't look like obstacles. They look like people. People who, because of a title or rank or their paycheck, believe they have the right to make themselves bigger and you smaller. I said this before, and I'll keep saying it. No salary, no status, no so-called success gives anyone the right to oppress, belittle, or demean another human being. This episode marks the 100th episode of the He's Just platform. Who knew this would be the lane? Who knew this would be the path? I surely didn't. Not until that day, nearly 2 years ago, during a work retreat. We were sitting in teams, turning talks, some icebreakers, yoga, group games. I was partnered with someone I didn't know, but we shared the same profession and education. But during the yoga session, kept bumping into one another and laughing it off. We made the best of the small space. In that moment, it was all love. Then came lunchtime. A woman, a higher up, someone familiar from the professional spaces, approaches my partner. She glanced at our conversation. And with a tone of disgust, a look on her face that said more than words than ever, she muttered loudly, "He's just a social worker." She didn't whisper it. She didn't hide it. She performed it. For her friend, for herself, for anyone listening. And me, I just froze. It hit me like a punch. One of those you don't see coming. The kind that makes your body tighten. Your thoughts racing. Your heart drops. I looked around the room for people who saw it happen. I looked around the room for people I knew. I stopped by to tell some people that I did know what just happened. Some said, "How can I help?" But I said, "Nothing. This won't stay like that." I knew at that moment I had to do something. Not to get revenge, not to stoop, but to build. So I left early. I called my accountant. I told him, "I want to start something." I told him the story, and I said, "I don't have a blueprint. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to have the name. He's just a social worker." A few days later, it was official. All I had at first was that fire in my chest and the name to go with it. That was meant to reduce me. So I flipped it, used it to rise. That one comment birthed a movement, a community-driven platform, a podcast, a radio show, a mission to highlight everyday people that do extraordinary things, a space to heal, to share, to uplift. Shout out to my brother Jim Martinez. Episode number one, we did that. Who knew the context? He understood and truly knew the person as well. Shout out to every guest who believed in me, who believed in this space. And shout out to you, the listener, who made this more than just a moment, who made it a movement. He's Just has now become more than a name. It became a reminder that titles don't define worth, that people matter, that we all have gifts, and sometimes all we need is a space to let them shine. So if you ever find yourself in a moment like that, one that makes your soul ache and your spirit question its value, don't shrink. Do something about it. Fight back. Fight back with purpose, with creation, with love. Let He's Just be your watch this. Sometimes you have to let the work speak louder than the words that leave your mouth. In good times, shine with humility. In bad times, let your consistency be louder than your criticism. Through all things, show up, stay excellent, stay undeniable. Speak your truth. When it hurts, you have two choices: suppress it or express it. I usually choose express it. Sometimes you speak up in the moment. Other times you speak through your platform. Turn that comment into content. Turn that shade into strategy. Good things, people listen. Bad things, they doubt. All things, let your voice be heard. Build your own table. Don't beg for a seat. You set that table up. You build from the ground up. Create a table where value isn't questioned. That's what He's Just did. Built from pain, powered by purpose. Good things built from dreams. Bad things built from disrespect. All things building a legacy. Surround yourself with people who get it. There's a power in numbers, power in being understood. Find people who don't flinch when you speak truth, who clap when you win, who correct you when you love. In good things, they cheer. In bad things, they hold you up. In all things, they remind you of who you are. Stay learning, stay leveled, stay grounded. Growth is a form of resistance. Every course, every book, every new skill is a strike against the lie that you're not enough. Mistakes help you grow. You will struggle, and that's okay. No matter, you keep rising. For me, my narrative was, He's Just became watch this. When people try to box you in, you become the blueprint. You flip the label. You write your own story. Remember, you inspire. Remember your why. My friend, Reverend John Lee Hooker Jr., told me, keep on running. Yeah, keep on running. The struggle is real. Protect your headspace. They may attack your role, attack your title, attack your status, attack your paycheck. Don't let them touch your peace, though. Boundaries, therapy, reflection. It's all armor. Stay grounded. Stay present. Protect your mind. Protect your peace. Move smart, not fast, though. We know that toxicity can be tolerated. But for many of us, toxicity cannot be tolerated for long term. If the space isn't safe or respectful, plan your exit with grace and precision. Walk away with dignity. Don't lose your soul trying to fit or fix it. Stay focused and move in alignment. Balance. Some people like to write everything down, document it, especially if something like this happens. They want to take note of how and what to do. If this happens in the workplace, keep records. Protect yourself. Know your rights. This isn't petty. This is wise. It's grown. It's necessary. Good things, no need to use it. Bad things, you prepare it if you do need it. And all things, you move with intelligence. Turn their doubt into your drive. Let their disrespect be your fuel, not your fire. You don't have to become bitter to become better. You just have to keep building. Good things that make you smile, bad things that made you act, all things that made you who you are today. You don't run from them. You grow from them. You fight back, not with violence, but with vision. Not with anger, but with action. So when they say, he's just a social worker, you say yes. But I'm also the person who's about to change the game. Fear has a way of creeping in, just like it did when I was challenged. What is the perception? What is the threat level like? How dangerous is this? How harmful do you think the situation is? What are your past experiences with encounters like this that present similar fears that may shape your reactions? Control it. Well, sometimes the less control we feel over a situation, the stronger the fear becomes. So staying on top of what you can do that becomes manageable and helpful for you. Uncertainty really drives fear because it's unknown. The less we understand, the scarier the fear is and the scarier it feels. You need to get informed. Some of your responses usually are fight or flight. These mechanisms are triggered by some physical or some emotional reaction. How will you respond that day? In both situations that you've heard, you need to have space to reflect. You need to be ready for next time, because if it happens again, you're better prepared. What are the expectations, you know, the social and the cultural influence about this? What does society say about things like this? When those around you perceive you as a threat, and that becomes as fearful and reinforced by their own fears, don't get caught up in stigmas about this. You respond as best you can. You won't get it right all of the time because there's no right way or wrong way to do this. However, what society thinks should not be something that concerns you ever. Your cognitive interpretation of this, how do we mentally frame when we understand fear? What determine and what can determine its impact on us? One way I measure that is, if I don't do that to someone, I certainly don't expect them to do it to me. That's your answer. Some of these symptoms, when fear does come up, feel paralyzed, inactive, because fear can immobilize us. It prevents decision-making or us taking necessary action. Irrational thinking, this fear distorts our reality, making problems seem worse than they really are. Stress and anxiety, we've all heard it. Chronic fear leads to heightened stress, which negatively impacts health. Avoidance of behavior. This is when we start avoiding situations and people and showing up in places that we used to be comfortable. These opportunities are all diminished because of fear. Loss of control, when fear becomes more than what we feel. In other words, we feel powerless, limiting our confidence and sense of agency. Physical symptoms, heart rate is increased, you're sweaty, tension. This can lead to burnout, exhaustion, and other health issues. This can strain your relationships. You know, when fear drives behaviors, it creates a misunderstanding. Short responses with friends and partners and conflicts with others and so on. These missed opportunities that fear can prevent us from taking risks because we're afraid of what may happen next. We're afraid of the failure that already happened, and this impacts our growth and our success. Whether it's work, family, or community, or just a personal one-on-one meeting with yourself, life will test you. How would you respond? That response has layers, levels, weight. Sometimes money is the factor. Sometimes it's raw emotion. And other times, something deeper, deeper inside you that even you don't fully understand. We all carry emotional intelligence. It breathes inside of us, silently shaping the way we face each twist, each turn. But here's the thing. You need a check-in. How do you respond when life moves without warning? Can you stop and self-assess yourself when it feels like the walls are caving in? Some of us can. We're built from that storm mode. We can handle the chaos, multitask under pressure. Some of us stay grounded when it all spins all over the place. And then there's others. We need it broken down, slowed up, chunked, piece by piece, so that we can manage and process and execute with clarity. But life, life doesn't always respect that. Life comes at you like waves at a high tide, unpredictable, relentless, and crashing. And you find yourself asking, why is this happening? What did I do to deserve this? When did it even become this serious? Where's my help? All are very good questions. All of these questions are real. There are starting points, entryways into how we begin to face the storm. But let's not get it twisted. Life doesn't pause just because we are tired. We have fear. Life doesn't slow down because we are overwhelmed. It keeps rolling. And the truth is, we do have another gear. It's the one you use ever so often. It's not the one you use every day, though. It's not that surface level hustle. It's that vault gear, the one that's locked up, that deep reserve energy. The one you don't tap into unless something critical shakes your world. Somebody threatens your child. Somebody disrespects your mama. Now, you know, even as a child, we were taught, no one talks about your mama. Even when you're grown up, someone talks about your mama and you have that button. That moment, your body responds before your brain does. That gear, that survival mixed with purpose. That's adrenaline seasoned with instinct. That's you at your sharpest when the stakes are highest. Now, imagine if we didn't wait for disaster to unlock that energy. Imagine if we could train ourselves to access that mode when we're chasing goals, when we're trying to level up, when we're simply trying to stay whole. Because what is, will be. and what ain't supposed to be just won't. But that in between, that's your higher self. That's that zone. That's your stretch. That's your story. Good things, bad things, all things. We're built for it. When you're in the zone, when you're locked in, focused, high energy headspace, you're actually in the best position to solve problems effectively and creatively. But even in the zone, problems can sneak up on you too. You need to stay grounded when you're operating at a high peak. Pause before you react. Even when you're in the flow, problems can trigger emotion. Take a little bit to kind of re-energize yourself. Take 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute before responding. Let your logic catch up with your instinct. Just because you're moving fast doesn't mean every decision has to be fast. Break down the problem. When you're in the zone, you need to find clarity. Ask yourself, what's the real issue? What part of this can I control? What's urgent versus what's just noise? Organize your planning. You see, big problems are often just small problems wearing a disguise. Identify one and win. Find the quick, achievable part of the problem to knock out. That small win gives you momentum and calms your nerves. Progress kills panic. Stack wins. Don't stare at the wall. When you're pivoting like this, you're looking for angles. Use your energy wisely. If one solution isn't working, don't stop. Pivot. Try a new approach, a different tool, or even ask someone for insight. When you're in the zone, your brain's agile, so use it. Use your breath to stay balanced. You can be hyped up and still be centered, controlled, balanced. Control your breathing. It helps you stay sharp. When you're locked in, it doesn't mean tense. Just stay fluid, be relaxed, stay calm, but stay dangerous. Lean on tools, on systems that you've built. You're in that zone is usually not an accident. It's the result of habits, of rituals, of things you believe in. Use what you got. Notes, checklists, data, calendars, auto reminders, cell phone, team feedback, whatever you can get your hands on. See, because problem solving gets easier when you trust the systems that you create, that you understand. This is what brings you peace. Know when to exit, though. Sometimes you're not going to win. Even when you're in the zone and a problem starts consuming your energy way too much, just step away. I like to tell my kids, stop, walk, and talk. Drink water, stretch, look outside, reset the dial. Sometimes the best move is to pause to protect your power. You've moved from one chapter of your life into the next. Not just by chance, not just by choice. You're inspired by the journey, the people, the struggles, and the love. I kept going. I continued my work. I continued my purpose. I continued my calling. Yeah, he's just a social worker. And those efforts, they granted me an opportunity to become a building administrator, a school leader, a role I once only dreamed about. And now I get to lead from the other side, helping more families, supporting staff, but most importantly, standing in the gap for my students. When I walk the halls, I see the future. Sometimes those hallways tell me more. I see Tato. I see the ones who've carried grief and loss for far too long, and they're just too young, but they still show up. Kids are very resilient. I see future homeowners. That's the path they choose. They'll succeed. I see creators. I see healers. I see leaders. I see possibilities unfolding in real time. I see students who one day will lose their jobs. who will be talked about, who will be judged, maybe even doubted. But I also see their endings filled with promise and mystique, wrapped in resilience, rooted in destiny. For other students, I see the grit, I see vision. I see them reaching for opportunity, carving out futures on their terms. As parents, sometimes we fail ourselves when we want or expect our children to be just like us. They will eventually get there. You will be the support. You continue to be the bridge. They will finally get there. When I see my students, I see the future leaders of the world. These leaders will lead their way on their terms. They're not waiting to be invited to the table. They're building the whole damn table. They'll fight for equity. They'll demand justice. They'll walk in their truth unapologetically. And when they enter their zone, they won't just survive. They'll rise. When systemic barriers try to box them in, they rise. When the odds are stacked against them, they rise. When they don't get picked to be on the team, they fight. When they don't get chosen to be president of a club, they'll lead. They become. But let's be real. Nothing we do in education and leadership in life happens alone. Teamwork is the heartbeat. Because no vision becomes reality without people pulling together. No child thrives without a village. No change happens without voices joined in purpose. Nothing is possible in learning or leading without a team. Team is everything. Team is the collective strength, our shared commitment that moves the mission forward. We lean together. We learn together. We push together. We grow together. That's why I created the He's Just platform, because it's a space where community leaders and thinkers and educators and everyday heroes come together to share real ideas and bold perspectives on topics that matter. Their voices spark the kind of conversations that shift mindsets and shape futures, because having people on this journey, openly sharing what they've lived, learned, and built is priceless. This helps our communities and listeners grow in ways they don't even know existed. It's about access. It's about wisdom. It's about learning virtual and vital truths, some new, some long and hidden, but all are essential to navigating this thing called life. Because these young people I'm talking about, they're more than just students, more than just statistics, more than at risk or underserved. They are the future. And I've had the privilege to witness it. So I show up every day, not alone, but with the team, because they're worth it, because they're watching, because this here is legacy work. Good things, bad things, all things. There comes a time when you look at life, what have I built? And realize that somewhere along the way, pieces of you were lost. Not stolen, not taken, not given, but they're leaving you slowly over time. Sometimes in the name of love, sometimes in the name of peace, sometimes in the desperate hope that you give enough, they'll finally see you. They will thank you and accept you. I've reached that line in the sand. And from this moment forward, I refuse to let anyone or anything place their needs so far above mine that I begin to vanish in this process. This isn't about being rebellion. It's a homecoming. You see, selfishness is a beautiful quality until it turns into people-pleasing. Until your days revolve around moods and desires of others to comfort them, while your own joy is placed on the back burner like an afterthought. What starts as love and friendships and being nice to people can slowly become servitude. What begins as compassion can morph into an emotional tornado where you bend and twist to be what others need while forgetting what you need. Say this, I will not continue down that road. Again, I will not continue down that road. I will not allow anyone to become a contract of my silence and my suffering. I will not allow anyone to become a place where my truth must remain muted for the sake of harmony. I will no longer work tirelessly to be liked or accepted when the most important relationship I should have is the one I need to have with myself. This isn't bitterness, it's clarity. It's waking up to the fact that healthy love includes boundaries. Real recognizes real, and real respect makes room for everyone in the room, not just the loudest or the neediest. Whether it's parenting, or partnerships, or friendships, they must be reciprocated. I'm not just a provider, not just a caretaker, not just a fixer. I'm a whole person. I have needs, I have limits, I have desires that are no longer negotiable. It doesn't mean I love people any less. In fact, it means I finally love them from a place of truth, not performance. And I love myself enough to say, I won't be handled. I won't be manipulated into silence. I won't be guilted into service. Friends, your life is not about ensuring others they need to be comfortable. It's about finding your identity. This is not up for debate. I'm not asking you to respect anyone or not respect them. What I'm saying is, I'm not asking to be respected anymore. I'm requiring. Love yourself, but don't diminish yourself. Hear me. Even when life challenges you, see yourself. Not just for what you do, but for who you are. You will show up for you. You will guide you, and you will love you deeply. But you will also show what it means to honor yourself. You will not sacrifice your mental health in the name of pleasing someone else. And yeah, talk to yourself. Thank yourself for waiting. Thank yourself for whispering under all that noise. Thank yourself for reminding yourself, be gentle with you, that you are allowed to take space in your own life. So from this day forward, you will not abandon yourself from love, peace, or approval, but you will choose you. And in doing so, you're not walking away from people. You're just finally walking back to yourself. We've all lived through them. Game-changing moments. The kind that shift the ground beneath you. The moments that stay with you. That whisper reminders of where you've been. The echoes in the choices you're making now. They don't just knock. They arrive. Uninvited, unannounced, unforgettable. They remind you of your past. They shape you for your present. And sometimes, they carve your destiny. You know the kind of moment I'm talking about, when the phone rings and life changes in a sentence, when the opportunity you prayed for comes wrapped in pressure and fear, when loss shows up without warning, when love walks out, when your name is left off the list, when you're counted out again and again, when silence says more than words ever could, those moments, those questions, what will you do when that moment comes for you? When the test shows up dressed like failure, when no one else believes, but you still do, when the lights are off, and the noise is gone, and it's just you and the mirror. Will you fold? Will you freeze? Will you hide? Or will you rise? Not despite the moment, but because of it. Because the truth is, nobody escapes the storm. But some people become because of it. Some people use the pressure, the pain, the push to break open new parts of themselves, to dig deeper, to love harder, to trust wiser, to walk with intention, to lead with humility. That's the difference. Not perfection, but presence. Not ease, but endurance. Because life will bring you good things, bad things, all things. And how do you respond? That is what defines you. You won't always be in control, but you can always show up. You can decide to be you. Show up. Be there. Be present. The real you. The healing you. The unlearning, growing, showing up, no matter what you. So when moments come, and they will, they certainly will, don't run, don't shrink, don't second guess yourself, don't second guess your strength. Stand in it, breathe through it, and remember, it's not just a test, it's a becoming. Good things, bad things, all things. Because on this platform it was built. Because way too often as people, we were overlooked or labeled. And this is no longer our plight and our fight. It's for anyone and everyone who feels a need to be understood. We are strong as individuals, but unstoppable when we unite. Tune in, friends, to another He's Just a Social Worker show. Coming to another town near you real soon. We're out. Please note that the views expressed here are my own and not a representation of my employers and clients. Thank you for listening. We're always here for you. Just message us and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thank you. More than just at He's Just a Social Worker. In memory of my mother, Matilde De La Rosa, this is dedicated to you, Mom. Miss you so much. En memoria de mi madre, Matilde De La Rosa, esto va dedicado a ti, mamá. Te extraño mucho.